Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
I have a funny story for you.
I want to hear it.
Okay. So this last weekend, we went off to Big Bear.
Yeah.
To go, I would call slush skiing / water skiing
as opposed to snow skiing.
It was so warm. I've never been on a mountain before when it's 65 degrees.
Was it that
warm?
And
it was ice in the morning, and then it turned to total slush. Like at one point, I'm going downhill, and there's this literal pile of water, like about six.
Can't believe they allowed you on the slope with that.
It was just so chewed up. But it was fun. Yeah. It was great. Got to ski solidly like three and a half hours each day. My quads held up. I didn't get sore. But the cute story is on the way up, when I was a little girl, my parents used to like to take us to the snow to Mount Baldy, which is kind of close to Lake. There's Lake Arrowhead, Big Bear, and Mount Baldy. And in between, there's a place on the base that's called Rancho Cucamonga.
Oh, yeah.
There is a restaurant there called the Magic Lamp.
Okay.
So I'm like, we got to get off the freeway. I got to see if this thing is still here and what it looks like, you know, because the website was still up. Walked into this, and it was like being, I was 12 years old again. It looked exactly the same. I think they had refurbished the red
furniture.
Yeah. They had a fire pit in the center of the restaurant. And it was like, this is so cool. So we had a drink and we had some food. So we didn't get up to the mountain until like 11 o'clock at night, but it was so reminiscent
of
like
cool.
That's one of my fond memories of being a little girl. It was so cute.
So cute. I love that.
Yeah, cool. Oh. Yeah. So tell me about you.
So today I witnessed my son's Rumpus in the Rainforest performance. It was so cute.
London?
Remy. So it was second grade, and he was so cute. He was the storyteller.
Oh.
And he did really well. I was like, damn. My mom's like, do you think he'll be an actor? I'm like, no, mom. Like, let's just calm down. Like, you know, settle. But he did great. And London got to see it, my other son. So it was really nice. So that was good. And it's been crazy. I've been busy.
I'm
a complete scatterbrain. So I apologize in advance.
Feeling better from your car accident?
Thank you. God, yes, that's all good. Thank God for Kairos.
And my stepmom got out of the hospital just yesterday.
Did?
Yes,
yeah.
Over 2 weeks. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So she's out in home care instead of going to a rehab place.
That's great. How are her spirits?
You know, I'm going to go see her tomorrow.
Okay.
And I saw her last. It was been over a week, so I talked to her a little bit here and there. But she's not very good on the phone anyway.
Right.
She doesn't hear quite as well as she used to. So I'm shouting, and she's saying what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There was this video that my husband and I saw where these two older people are talking, and she's like, Susan. And the other one's like, Julie. And she's like, no, Susan. And she's like, Julie. And like, we always imitate like when we see old people because, it's like they can't hear.
Oh, my gosh.
So.
All right. Well, everybody's in one piece. That's good news. Last week, we had a great guest.
Yes.
Christian Arrieta, who is an attorney who specialized in creating trusts and wills for people and the ever-known
complexities
of inheritance and family drama.
That was really interesting.
It was very, very, very eye-opening, and I hope that people got out there like immediately and signed up for their trusts and wills.
No, I thought that was really insightful and really helpful. There was stuff I really didn't know. So I can only imagine, you know, the other people who haven't even kind of looked into this world. So
Absolutely.
You missed that show. You can tune in on iTunes.
Well, we have an in-studio guest today, which we're very excited about. And I'm going to let you do the honors since you're the one who found this gentleman.
So I'm super excited. So this is Josh Siegel, and he is a revolutionary numerologist. Josh has helped thousands of people transform their lives with his breakthrough system of numerology. Within minutes, Josh can penetrate core issues and give instant clarity to your questions. His proven system can help you to understand seemingly random events in your life and empower you to change counterproductive patterns to welcome happiness and prosperity. Life-altering, at the same time engaging and entertaining, I can definitely attest to that. A personal session with Josh is an exciting journey into the greatest adventure of all, your individual life path. So he is featured on the History Channel hit series Decoded. He's also an expert for the LA Times, CBS News, Fox News, and ABC's Worldwide News. He appears in the special features of Jim Carrey's number one best-selling DVD, The Number 23. And he has completed television pilots for USA Network and Fox Studios. He's currently working on a new book, The Josh Code, to enlighten people across the globe. And according to Josh, in the same miraculous way that every cell of our bodies is encoded in a single strand of our DNA, there's another unseen code that we inherit from birth that can reveal crucial parts of how our life will unfold. Welcome.
Welcome, Josh. Oh my gosh, this is so great. Okay, so is your life a series of random events, or were you born with a destiny and an individual purpose to fulfill?
You are born with a destiny to your life. This has been proven with respect to the work that I've done over the last 20 years. However, there is a difference between having, if you want to call it, a predisposed life path to a certain degree, which means you are going to be given a set of parents. Mm-hmm. You are going to be given a name and a birth date,
yeah,
right? And there are going to be certain events in your life which I can decode to a certain extent. But what you do with that, the choices that you make, the ability to become aware of counterproductive patterns, as you mentioned in the bio, and the decisions you make for the future change the outcome of your life from one, you know, if you want to call it, trajectory to another.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of
still have some freedom of choice.
Right.
The whole point is to have freedom of choice.
Got it.
That's the whole point. You can't, you know, in the Far East, for example, in Hindu astrology, they call it Vedic astrology. And it's a really fascinating study. I've been studying it for many years, but there is a sort of fatalism. Oh, you know, you're born this way. This is how your life. Even they have a caste system, you know, that you're born into, and that's just sort of your lot in life. Mm-hmm. That is not really true in the Western world.
Right.
You can come from, you know, nothing and become everything.
It's true.
Right?
For sure.
So, so we know that to be true.
Yeah.
However, there are certain preordained, predestined lessons and I would call it a higher purpose that you have that you're here to fulfill. Now, how you get there, right? How long you allow certain things to continue is the difference between people who apply the information that I give or other sources that can help them to become more aware and cognizant of who they are and where they're going. And then, you know, the numbers which I use, you know, remember, I'm getting, it's basically a numerical code to who you are that I derive from your name and your birth date.
Yes.
Right? And as you know, it's a very sophisticated system, you know, that I've worked on for many years. And when you're given this information, then you can apply that and start changing where you're going, how you react to things, belief systems that you didn't even know that you really believed about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a level of destiny that seems to be chosen for you. What you do with that, the choices you make, and the free will that you have really do change the outcomes.
So for those of the listeners who have no idea what numerology is, can you give like maybe 1 to 2 sentences about what this study is?
Well, it's a numerical or a numbered system derived from your name. Every letter equals a number.
Okay.
And your birth date.
Mm-hmm.
And a particular formula is used to, you know, analyze the various numbers that you can get using the right formula. Because, by the way, not everybody does it correctly, you know, and that's something I had to work through over the last 20 years. But there is you would say there is a map that these numbers tell a story. They tell the song your life will sing, and I'm able to penetrate into these various qualities of your psychology, you know, earlier childhood patterns that psychologists, you know, would get to. Although I don't refer to myself as a psychologist, however, I'm able to look at, and you can attest to this, patterns that that are given to you at birth, you know, through this coded system, and then everyone has a number that represents their higher purpose or the ultimate goal, as I call it, and the whole idea is to get you to see where you're blocking that.
Yes.
And there's different ways to do it. Like I said, free will is huge with me. The whole point is to get you to break your coded matrix, to break out of the matrix, which is the limited view that many of us have, most of us have, and open yourself up to these numbers. These numbers take on a different level of awareness and understanding as much as you do.
Right.
Sure.
You know?
Where did you get the original code or formula? Has that been like ancient history, or
it is so ancient. You know, as you well know, I do not consider myself a New Ager, I have nothing wrong with the New Age, but I don't consider myself a New Ager. I mean, I come from, you know, academics and skeptics. My mother was a professor at UCLA and a German Jew, which is a certain type of skeptic that you cannot believe.
Right.
And pretty much nothing exists unless it's empirically proven.
Wow.
You know, we can't double blind placebo everything. Right. But and my father was an attorney, and they were both, you know, highly educated intellectuals. Uh-huh. But growing up in a Jewish family, the only way, if you had a predisposition to want to know more about life on any kind of, let's say, alternative or spiritual path, the only way that seemed okay for me was Jewish mysticism, because I grew up in a Jewish family. And that was okay with the family.
Like, it was still not like...
It's a little mishugana. It's a little wacky. Yeah. But, you know, we'll, you know, I'll tell you what.
Fuck-cocked.
It's a little fuck-cocked. Yes. You got me all verklempt. So, you know, that was all right. And you know, as I delved into, you know, the Jewish mysteries or Hebrew mysticism, one thing I found was that there was a strong sort of code, numerical code. As a matter of fact, a great part of Kabbalah has to do with, and you mentioned this earlier very astutely, that the Kabbalists believe that the Hebrew letters had some sort of mystical import to them, that there was symbolism there, and there's 22 of them. Uh-huh. And much of Kabbalah has to do with words and numbers and how they interact with each other. Like every letter equals a number, and you can gain, you know, like, for example, the word for love is ahava. Yes. That equals 13 if you add it up properly. And one is achad, which you can add up to equal 13. And if you add one love together, that's 26. And the name of God's 26. No, these are very interesting things, you know, in Kabbalah that you learn. Now, all that stuff was fascinating to me. It didn't really necessarily prove anything to me. Mm-hmm. But that got me started. It was from there that I started going off and going, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. The Jews were not the only people that used numbers to encode hidden mysteries. The Egyptians did that.
Sure.
The Persians did that. Mm-hmm. You know, the ancient Hindus did that. It's in every single known religious Bible, like the Zendavesta, the Bhagavad Gita and the Vedas, you know, the Torah, the New Testament is filled with numerology, right? In the Old Testament, the Book of Numbers, you know, Revelations is basically a numerological treatise. I mean, come on, it's just filled with numbers. And unless you understand the language of numbers and how the ancients saw those numbers, you can't really decode the deeper meaning of those ancient writings. But I spent years and years and years finding what is the string of unity between all of these teachings from all over the world. Is there a language, secret language, that these, you know, great teachers and thinkers of yesterday, did they encode it in a language that was similar to what was going on, let's say, you know, in South America, the same thing that was going on, you know, in the pyramids, right?
Yeah.
What can we find that's like this universal
commonality,
language? The commonality, you know? And like how mythological stories are very similar all over the world.
Sure, yeah.
You know, and, you know, the number 12 is all over every single, you know, Jacob had 12 sons and Hercules had 12 Herculean labors. Well, you know, a lot of this stuff is derived from the 12 signs of the zodiac, you know. And when we talk about sort of, you know, the hero, you know, a lot of that is the sun going through the 12 signs of the zodiac, the light of life, you know. You know, when you start to study these things on a deep level, you realize that this ain't New Age. This this is about as ancient as can possibly be.
That makes sense.
Now, when I studied numerology, which is applying these numbers to man and a housewife in Wisconsin, you know, where you asked me if I'd done celebrities, and I've done a slew of those, or, you know, or some, you know, poor 18-year-old in a puppy love situation, you have to apply this ancient knowledge and those ancient truths in a way that people can get.
Yeah, sure.
They need answers to everyday stuff.
Right.
Love, career. But I did the legwork.
Right.
Believe me, you know, over the last 23 years.
Well, Kelly, you got a reading from Josh before the show. Why don't you share a little bit of its powerfulness?
It was mind-blowing. Like, first of all, we worked for over an hour together, and I felt like it was like 2 minutes. It was so weird. I think I was so engrossed. Josh was absolutely fantastic. So there were many things that I learned. I mean, so I guess when I thought of numerology, I just thought it was like, oh, this is your one number. Like, you're a four, or you're a five, and you're smart, sassy, whatever, you know. And it's like it's exactly like you said, it's much more complex. It's like your number sort of, you know, has to do with your birthday and your life purpose and your name, and it's just sort of how everything kind of intermingles together. And so what was absolutely fascinating to me was just how the dates, the numbers in the past sort of correlated with this time in my life. Like he would say, okay, so what happened in 2007? And I'd be like, oh, you know, I got a new job. Like, it was just like, oh, yeah, you know, at that time you were an eight, which meant ambition. Like, it's just so strange. It was really, really cool.
Very exciting. What's the number one thing that just you just went like, wow, how did he get that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was really funny because he had said, like, what happened in 2004, 2005. And, you know, did you have some, like, betrayal? And I was like, I just got engaged. Like, no, not really. You know, we're still talking. And then I realized, like, I had had this falling out with this friend and felt, like, really, like, it was just like this, like, you know, sever. Like, and it was just like, oh, my God. So it's just kind of like this light bulb of, like, wow. You know, you sort of, I guess you kind of forget different parts of your life. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, yeah, you know, and they just kind of, like, mold together. And once I kind of separated them out. So it was, but I wanted to ask you as far as, like, numbers compared to other people, like, was mine, I don't know how to say, like, typical. I know everybody's individual. It was mine, like, ooh, this is an interesting one.
It is interesting. Okay. Look, everyone has a fingerprint, right, that's unique to them. Obviously, this is very complex. You know, what I call simplistic numerology, where everything's boiled down to a single digit. Like, you're, like you call, like, you're a four, so you overthink too much. You know, these things aren't really helpful in the way that, you know, a human being and all their complexities. You need to be able to see all the different facets
dimensions
to a person. Well said. Mm-hmm. So, look, when I saw this so-called betrayal and asked you about it, it was because there was numbers in your chart that showed that more than likely such a thing would occur in your life.
Yeah.
Then it had to do with zeroing on these. There's a part of a numerology chart.
Yeah.
I guess you could call it the predictive without getting into crystal ballish stuff.
Yeah.
But there are times when in your life when things are more likely to happen than others.
Yeah.
You know, certain types of events. So I went back to that time frame and said, okay, this is probably part of a pattern that you had that you were born with, because I told you this had to do with a parent.
Exactly.
So remember, for the first 30 minutes, I do all the talking.
Yeah, exactly.
So I get no information from you
except
your
name
and your birth date.
Yeah.
So what I do is that helps me to lay down the basics of your chart that I can refer to later, but also helps to prove the accuracy of the system, right? But so you were prone to that.
Right.
You were encoded with that, and that was a time frame when likely that would be reenacted. You see, I look at life now as sort of like a, I don't know, almost like a reality show for God.
Like a deja vu.
Look, I mean, I don't see it. You know, I always really wondered when I studied some of the Eastern mysticism, because I had a hard time getting it, because, you know, I live in the Western world.
Right.
You know, and I just didn't, but they called this world Maya or illusion. I said, what does that even mean? What do you mean illusion? If I walk in front of a car that's moving fast, there'll be no illusion that I get smashed,
right?
But there is sort of this kind of thing where our lives do kind of unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Or else how did, I mean, you know, we talked about when your career changed. Mm-hmm. We talked about when you realized that the old wounds from your childhood came up for healing.
Yes.
All those years I mapped out for you unmistakably. And if I had switched the years and said that thing happened in that year, it wouldn't have worked, would it?
100%.
Right. Yeah. So this is what we talked about as far as how life unfolds.
Yeah.
Right. Now, we go into similar cycles every 9 years.
That was interesting to learn too.
Yeah. And that's,
we're likely to recreate similar things from 9 years ago.
That's right.
But everybody, or like, in other words, so I know you were saying, I'm on my new cycle for 9 years. Is she on that same one or not necessarily?
Oh, she's going to be in a totally different cycle depending on her birth date.
Yeah.
And also the rest of their chart, right?
Right.
But
9 years doesn't start on your birthday.
No.
That you could be halfway through a cycle and then at four,
starting
your new 9 years.
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's correct. In fact, that's what your life path number is. Where do you start off from?
Right.
But what's interesting is that I always say 9 years of growth, 9 years of maturity, 9 years of growing up, 9 years of learning your shit, if I can say that.
Yeah.
You can say fuck, you can say anything you want.
How dare you? I'm a spiritual man.
I heard you already do the F-bomb twice.
Yes,
in our
he did
green
it a
room.
Couple
that
times.
Must have been somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
That was your fucking favorite scene in the movie. I got it. Excuse me, that always feels so cathartic.
Yeah,
doesn't
it?
It
is
on
very
air.
Exactly.
No, sorry if I did offend anybody who is listening.
So we have a similar type of event that may reoccur, but if you grow and evolve and you learn your stuff and you start making decisions, the outcome changes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point about it, is to change the outcomes of our lives and start welcoming in the greater wonderful possibilities that everybody has.
Yeah.
Everyone has a unique fingerprint, but they also have a unique code.
Right.
And once they understand how amazing that is, because you asked about celebrities.
Yeah.
I don't really, honest to God, I mean, I really don't care about the celebrity thing. You know, at first it's like, oh, wow, you know, I have some of your albums or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Or I saw you in a movie. But you'd be surprised. Some of the most fascinating readings I've done are with some of these everyday people who have all these intricate things and dramatic things that played out in their life.
Sure.
You know, like an immigrant who came from China who had nothing and then came out here and met somebody, and then all the weird things that happened in their life that you're like, how did that even happen? Well, it's according to there was something there that existed.
Mm-hmm.
And when they woke up out of their life and left the abusive guy and then now they're like an advocate, you know, and travel around the world. To me, that's remarkable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. So you're a celebrity.
Right. Okay, exactly.
So I'm really curious, because obviously we don't live as individuals in isolation. We live among communities. We have families. We have lovers. We have all those.
Yeah.
Do our own codes interact with somebody else's codes to bring up out a whole other level
Tremendous question. Remember, we spoke about how we project our numbers. You see, you have your own little matrix, everybody else does. This universe is remarkably intelligent, extraordinary. I almost get shivers when I really think about how it's all set up so brilliantly. Some intelligence out there, and we know we're talking about, how Einstein felt that there was an intelligence to the universe, how quantum physics talks about how these things are happening on a molecular level that, I don't even understand. It's not like my thing, but I read articles in science magazines because I'm looking for the intelligence, right?
Yeah.
So somehow we're interacting with people and we're triggering each other, right?
Yeah.
We're attracted to that. Remember how much of the time that I spend on saying, but what about your husband?
Yes.
What about, if the wounding pattern is set forward from birth, then of course I said you had a parent that was separative.
Mm-hmm.
That was detached, and yet a parent who gave up their goals.
Right.
Did we not?
Did
we nail every little part of that?
It was weird.
Everyone that you connect with on a deep level in life, they're having a part to play in teaching you and showing you your own numerical matrix. So that's why when you do compatibility readings with people, it's not just that we're, are you two compatible? Are you guys both like movies? You guys like to travel, right? But what do you bring up in each other?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we attract people that play out a part of ourselves that we haven't integrated.
Sure.
You know, we see that all the time.
I have a great question, though. When you are dating, do you check your partner's numerology before before we can go on the first date?
Yeah.
Give me your first last name, your birth date, and then I'll tell you if we can go out. This might be too personal.
No, I don't care. Yeah. Listen, I'm an open book. Listen, I didn't get involved in this world because I had such a perfect everything. I mean, I'm the wounded healer. I mean, I always tell people, if you look at my life from the outside, I had this perfect childhood, right?
Mm-hmm.
Upper middle class Jewish family, the Palisades, professional parents, very ethical, good people. But it was very wounding. First of all, I was adopted.
Oh,
and my birth parents were rock singers in the 60s. I didn't know who they were until I was 18.
No.
Yeah, my dad actually had a hit song in 1966. And my mother, who, my parents who raised me, were much older.
Mm-hmm.
They're much older. And my mother was, her family escaped from Nazi Germany in the late 30s.
Oh.
You know? Remember I brought up Einstein?
Yeah.
Yeah. My mother is a distant relative of Einstein. My mother's last name is Einstein.
Wow.
Man, that's so cool.
My mother was Professor Einstein because she was a professor.
Yes. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, when people say you're no Einstein, she's like, as a matter of fact, I am.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. She even kind of talks like that. And how are you?
That is so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, my relationship, my mother was a very powerful effect on me.
Uh-huh.
The wounding there.
Sure.
You know? And then also being given up by my biological mother. And now, look, there's a whole story behind that we don't have time to get into. But that stuff shaped me.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Do you know how he just avoided your question?
I did. That was genius, wasn't it?
No.
All right.
Oh, that's funny. I got sucked in. I didn't even realize. I was like,
I pulled the Einstein thing. I needed to take us out of there.
Nope. Exactly.
All right. So basically, I have You know, there was the case of the girl with like an exorbitant amount of fives in her chart,
which means
when you see a number that repeats, you know, too many times, we have an overabundance of a particular kind of a aspect of a person.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh my God, you know, this is kind of nuts. And she got completely obliterated on our date. She had four or five margaritas within the first, I don't know, 45 minutes.
Wow.
And so
does five mean alcoholic? No.
Well, five means can if you have too many. Again, we don't want to play too fast and loose because it's very intricate, you know, but theoretically having an overabundance of fives can make someone sensory indulgent.
That makes sense.
You know?
Yeah.
And then we
poor Kelly on five margaritas, she'd be passed out.
I have a sip and I'm tipsy. I am
cheap date over here.
I really am.
I've seen her. We've been out before.
That was the last time.
One drink. Sip.
I think she's
like loopy.
Well, I think the party that we went to, I probably had half of a, and I was like,
yeah, and
dizzy.
I'm feeling guilty because I'm on my second glass of wine and I'm like,
I can't do it.
Still standing, can still drive. You know? And I'm like, jeez.
I'm pathetic. But anyway.
Sorry for interrupting.
No, it's funny. That's life. Look, and then there was the girl I dated for quite some time and I never did her numerology because I didn't want to know.
Oh.
And then at the end, as I started realizing, I
wasn't
going to work. Yeah. You know, I told her that she had the number 19 in her chart.
Okay.
I said, I can tell.
You really?
Oh, yeah. And I finally, at the very end, I did her numbers, and her ultimate goal, that most important number that defines our ultimate lesson, was a 19.
And what does that mean?
Well, 19s have a lot of abandonment. And her father passed when she was, I think, 10, in a, tragically in a car accident. And she, they also suppress a lot of their creative gifts. And she, I had been pushing her to, you know, to be a photographer, but she worked in the studio booking for other photographers. Then years later, she contacted me and said, oh my God, I got canned for my job. And it was during a time frame where we saw a major shift in her life, to her higher purpose. And that caused her to finally become the photographer herself.
That's amazing.
You know?
And then did you ask her to marry you?
No. The girl was nuts. No, she wasn't nuts. She just had a lot of problems.
Now I'm afraid if I show up with fives and 19s on my reading.
No. That's one of these, I developed a lot of compassion over the years. Yeah. You know,
you have to, right?
You have to.
Yeah.
You know,
all pained. We're all wounded. We're all nuts.
It's true.
It's so absolutely true. Yeah. I can just prove it mathematically,
you know?
But that's the beauty of life. You know, we have these things. It's a struggle. I've proven that the deepest issues that we have, the ones that we run from, or the ones we're not even aware of, but once we finally, the painful dealing with them, it's our greatest gift.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
It gives us the greatest gift of our lives is the wound, because underneath that, underneath that crap is the gold. It gives us the gift.
Yep.
It gives us the purpose. If everything came easy, we wouldn't even have to be here.
It's true.
Right.
Trust me. This is just a boot camp for souls. That's what it is.
I love that. It's so true.
You know?
Yeah.
We are talking with Josh Siegel, revolutionary numerologist. You can give us a call if you have a question at 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. This stuff is so fascinating.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. So what? Give us some other juicy stuff. Oh, what's the difference between numerology and astrology? Because I think astrology is a more well-known
aspect. Look, I think numerology is going to start, I think it has started to grow in the last, you know, 10 years or so, more and more and more. But
more scientific, it sounds like.
Well, look, you know, astrology done correctly, and very few people do it that way. I mean, you know, I I'm a little bit more of a scholar of these things, and I delve into them a little bit more, you know, quasi-academically, right?
Yeah.
You know, and I really want to be able to prove what I do and show this. And you have to really research and understand these things. Astrology, you know, there's something to it.
Yeah.
Astrology has to do with the placement of the planets in the heavens and how they interact with each other when you're born.
Mm-hmm.
And numbers are basically using numbers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, think about
the planets.
Instead of the planets, you know, although you can't really erect a horoscope,
right,
without numbers, because it's all based on mathematics. For example, some of the planets and how they interact with each other are done, you know, through angles. This planet's hitting that planet and it's at a 90 degree angle. They call that a square. You know, that's all mathematics. If you really think about it, guys, if you really, really think about it, there isn't really anything in this universe, anything that really isn't a number. I mean, numbers are really everywhere. You know, we wouldn't be able to have modern society without numbers.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, advanced civilizations that started from throwing sticks and stones, numbers were a part you know, of them growing into more of an evolved kind of way of being.
Well, it's related to everything in our survival, right?
You're right.
How many breaths you take per minute.
Yes.
How often your heart beats.
Oh, my God, you're so
money
right.
exchange is all based on numbers. And what
you're identified by numbers.
By
your
numbers.
Checking account number, your social security number, your license plate.
Oh, I just had this weird thought, though. My father was a Holocaust survivor. And, and they used, numbers. The Nazis used numbers to organize people.
That's right.
Yeah, not their names, not anything.
Exactly,
but
numbers.
It's just got like an ear.
I got the news for you. You know, major corporations look at their employees as numbers.
Numbers.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Right. Well, when you get a bill from your doctor, your ID number
exactly.
is a number. Yeah. And then you can tell how many patients they've had.
It's everywhere. You can't, if you listen to music, music can be quantified. It can be recorded, and it's based on cycles, you know, waveforms that are can be measured numerically.
That's so cool. And what's so funny, my older son is obsessed with numbers. Yeah. Like, he could be a numerologist. No, he finds it so fascinating. And I never thought about it in that way.
Well, a lot of this secret knowledge that the ancients possessed, that they hid, you know, through metaphorical language, right?
Yeah.
Had a lot to do with the cyclical nature of the world, you know, like the seasons and the sun, moon, and the stars. A lot of those ancient stories have to do, like I said before, the sun going through the 12 signs of the zodiac. You know,
so
it's a mythical story.
Yeah.
Hercules had the 12 Herculean labors.
Wow.
Right, who wore a lion's girdle. Mm-hmm. Lion represents Leo. These are, I'm telling you, I could do
so
an entire show
on
some of this knowledge that I've ascertained
from
researching. A lot of stories in the Bible, a lot of stories in these ancient texts prior to that are all talking about the same thing. See, back then, and this is a point that I really want to make because I'm really impassioned by this, is that science and spirituality were together.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Nowadays, too much of the time,
you're
although things are starting to change.
You're a spiritual person,
yeah.
And some people will believe, you know, sometimes, you know, again, I'm still a skeptic. Some people believe things, and that's, look, I believe whatever you want to believe.
Right.
That's fine. You know, if it works for you, great. But some people do believe things that I think are a little, you know, out there without having any proof at all. Mm-hmm. They just, I just believe that. Okay, well, that's valid if you want to believe that. And, you know, but they believe things that, like, have, like, zero provability to them. And then scientists sometimes are so caught up in their mundane, limited view of things that they say, well, this is the way things are because this is what we've proven so far. And then 30 to 40 years later, they find new data that totally refutes that.
Yeah.
And they attack everybody that said, but wait a minute, that doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
You know, it's science and spirituality work beautifully together.
Yeah.
You would have loved our guest a couple of weeks ago, Dr. Todd Feinman, who's an evidence-based Dr. Evidence. Basically, he does all medicine based on actual evidence. And how he was also saying the same thing, how many people just walk around with these beliefs. Well, I'll just take that because a doctor said I take 2 aspirin and that's what's good for me. And it's like, you look at the cholesterol numbers, actually, you get a 2% gain for taking cholesterol.
Oh, that's right.
Medicine. Yeah.
Medicine. Yeah.
Yes. That was amazing.
And it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know? And you get, in fish oil, you might get 5%.
Right.
You know, but then again, they're selling you the pharmaceutical, you know.
Right, exactly.
It's like there's so many things out there are... We're bombarded with, I think, you know, this is what I call the matrix.
Uh-huh.
We're bombarded with a lot. I'm not going to get too much into this, but either side of the fence that you're on politically today, there's no question, no matter what side you're on, that everyone's getting news from whatever outlet that tells them what they want to hear.
Sure.
Who really cares about truth anymore or facts, you know? And it's sort of whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And I'm not making either side.
Sure.
Both sides, a lot of the time, believe, you know, both whether you're a liberal or a Democrat,
right.
you know, or a conservative. It's just like the only thing I care about in life is the truth.
Mm.
But the truth, right, has to work.
Right.
Then it is a truth. Is there one truth above everything? I think we get into a little semantics. We get into a problem with that. But something has to work. And I didn't just buy into numerology because I read a book on it 23 years ago.
Yeah.
I did thousands and thousands. I've done over 20,000 sessions.
Wow. That's incredible.
I had to see what it worked and what didn't work.
Uh-huh.
If something didn't work, I had to go, okay, why didn't that work?
Yeah.
To get it to the point where I feel confident enough to be able to sit down with someone and say, okay.
So precise.
Let me tell you this and let's go from there.
Wow.
Let's make the different choices. Because a lot of times we don't even know that we're so affected by things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys being, you know, therapists and psychologists and PhDs and all these, you know, very impressive things. You know, a lot of the time people are very unaware of how life has affected them.
Oh, of course. Sure. Yeah. Denial and distancing, dissociation.
Projection. Displacement.
Right, all of it.
You know?
Okay, Freud. Okay,
but I do have a question. Okay, yeah. So it's really funny because I always loved the number 7. Like, sure. I always loved that number.
Right.
And one of the, my, I think it was like you said I was like 7 and I don't remember.
Your life path number is a 7.
Now, is that typical for people if they have like an affinity toward a certain number? Does it end up, or is it just like random?
You know, it's not uncommon. I'll tell you the most, not only that, but the most common ubiquitous,
yes.
universal number that people see are 11, is 11.
Really?
Yeah. 11 or 1111 is the most common series of numbers that people see. And
when you say people see, what do you,
you mean? Like,
oh, I get phone calls. I get clients. They tell me, you know, I keep seeing the number 11.
Oh, I'm like, seeing it.
Yeah. Well, they see it. You know,
eye.
It just show. Yeah, it shows. Yeah. It shows
you
up in their life.
11.
Yes.
A lot.
Right.
And mine is 17.
Yeah. Well, but see, that's interesting, right? Ah. Because I would look to see if a 17 or any form of 8 is in your chart. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or if there's a conflict between mm-hmm. 7 and 8. You know, I look at everything. You know,
yeah.
But the reason why
yeah.
is that 11, which you have 2
I
in your chart.
I was thinking that. I'm 11-11.
You are 11-11. Is that 11 rules, if you want to call it, or symbolizes. Like when I did the Diane Sawyer's ABC Worldwide News, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was years ago. It was 11-11-11.
Wow.
And so they consulted me. So why is everyone getting married on this day? Why do you think it's so special?
Oh.
You know, now most people aren't really, you know, privy to like what this stuff really means.
Yeah, exactly.
But 11 is symbolic of what we call a higher awareness, higher consciousness, mm-hmm. understanding life from a more broad perspective. Mm-hmm. People who like are not living in tunnel vision, but are starting to get it. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That represents 11. So when you are starting to wake up out of patterns and shit that you're doing in your life, that's screwing yourself,
yep.
whether it be relationship or work stuff. You might see the number 11 pop up in your life, symbolically relating to you starting to get it, realize that
that's
you've
amazing.
Been stuck
that's
and that amazing. You need to start looking outside of it
uh-huh.
to the bigger picture. So that's why I think, that's my theory why everyone sees that number.
That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, I've heard that if 11-11, you should make a wish or something.
Yeah.
That was sort of like the superstition.
Yeah.
So yeah. Isn't it fascinating? It's
totally.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so funny because I told my mom that you were coming on the show, yeah. and she's like, tell him. It's same thing, 17. She's like, I grew up 9/35, was 17, and then I yeah. was born on the 17th. And she was like, she wanted me to pass it along.
Well, people have they have lucky numbers,
mm-hmm.
and they have numbers that show up in their life that have deep meaning to them.
Yeah.
They don't understand that number has a deeper meaning behind it. They just go, well, just number has shown up in my life at very important parts of my life, you know, and there's
yeah.
some kind of a subconscious thing. I talked about that in the my favorite project that I did was for the Jim Carrey's movie, The Number 23.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this entire documentary on the DVD, you know, of
so
this movie.
Cool.
And I talked about the number 23 in many different ways.
Uh-huh.
But I talked about it, and we talk about, you know, we're joking about Freud, but Jung, you know, the, mm-hmm. the great psychoanalyst who was Freud's student,
mm-hmm.
he thought that numbers sort of existed in our subconscious minds, that we all have numbers there already. We sort of discovered what already existed. It was sort of his way of putting it. But it's interesting how the number 23
uh-huh.
pops up in interesting ways in different cultures, and how the number 7 pops up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the reasons why 7 was a sacred number is that back in the ancient days, they didn't know about 9 planets. They only saw 7 visible planets. So they deified those 7 planets. Do you know that we pay homage to those 7 planets every single day of our lives to this day? That we don't even realize that? You know that the 7 days of the week are based on the 7 planets and 7
stop.
Gods?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Did you know? This is so shocking to me because this is so obvious. Sunday is Sun's Day. Monday is Moon's Day. Wednesday represents the Nordic god Wotan.
What happened on Tuesday?
Tuesday is... let's see. Thursday is
I have to
Thor.
Go in order. Don't
right, right.
you know that?
So,
she's OCD. Come on.
I think there is a god named... I think named Tu or something like
okay.
that. And again, a Nordic
wow.
Nordic Germanic thing. I think Thursday is Thor's day.
Uh-huh.
Friday is Freya.
Oh, wow.
Freya's day. And Saturday is Saturn's day.
I thought it was Saturn.
That
yeah.
makes sense. Yeah.
But people, do you realize that the average person
no,
has literally
that,
no
I
idea?
No, I've never heard that in my
tidbit.
Life.
Yeah.
Now, so what is the highest number? Like they go from, do you have a 0 in numerology?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. So 0 to what?
Now 0 is obviously is a supplemental. For example, let's say the number 30
mm-hmm.
shows up in your chart. 0 is an amplifying force. 0 turns up to 10 what 3 means. The 0 comes after a number, like into the decade numbers. So that's a very strong 3, right? So that you might be very sensitive. You might be very expressive. You might be very creative. You might be very scattered.
I'm so afraid now.
I know. No, I think it's cool. So cool. But yeah, so what is the
highest number? Well, the highest number that someone can have in their numerology?
Yes.
Okay, well, I think the highest number I've ever had was in the 300s.
Oh, wow. Oh, okay. So it can go all the way up. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was because this was the longest name I've ever seen. I have a picture of it someplace that after I did.
Longest
yeah.
name?
It was the longest name I've ever seen. It was a German, countess, duchess
wow.
of some sort. Her name was so long, it was astonishing.
Like hyphenated? Wow. Like there's
it was just
back.
Like, was für die Uten, die Agen, Schneegen, die Abend, die Fissiden, die Volkswagen, von Fürstenberg, die Fliegen haben.
Right. It's like,
and
yeah.
she goes, that's my first name.
Right, exactly.
And I was like, lady, this is, you got to pay me extra for this.
Oh my
gotta
God.
Gotta calculate this. Yeah. I think it reached 300.
Now, do you when they get into more than double digits, do you start reducing them to a double digit?
Well, the average person, every the ultimate goal number, which is the last number in the chart that describes the part of us that we really suppress.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we attract people in relationships very strongly. That's why I can sit down with someone and go, let me tell you, you've attracted a guy like this, haven't you? And, oh my God, yeah. And but one was like this. These are I'm projecting, as you talked about, mm-hmm. I'm projecting their numbers on who they would attract to mirror
yeah.
their own numbers. But the ultimate goal number typically in an average name is usually a triple digit number.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually 100 and something.
You want to get a triple digit number?
No, you don't.
It's just
average. Yeah.
The average number will for the ultimate goal number will probably be triple digit. Like I said, this is very look. When I meet with a client,
mm-hmm.
I just talk like an old friend.
Yeah, you did.
You know, I dispense with any jargon. It's like an old friend who's who loves you but is kind of blunt.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You know. Who supports you but wants you to see your stuff.
Yeah, exactly. No, but that was perfect. You did it in a really great way. Yeah.
It's all, look, I did all the legwork. I've done all the research. I've done all the academia kind of version of this stuff. When I sit down, I have to reach people.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to be able to talk in a way that you get it. And
sure.
And I take great pride in communicating in a way that can move people, mm-hmm. that people can really understand it, really use it. I'm super practical.
Yes.
Very practical about how to use those numbers in your everyday life so you can get real results. Mm-hmm. Remember, I'm about making things work.
Yeah.
Having people make positive changes. 100%. Transformation. All
well,
that
I hate yeah. that when astrologers are like, Mercury is in your retrograde into your... And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, you're speaking like another language, So it's like,
And I even understand that language and I don't really give a damn because what does that do for me?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I learned years ago, like a lot of people are like, it's your money and your honey. That was, your relationship and your financial work, career stuff.
Oh,
so I learned years ago to be able to peg that part of life
uh-huh.
accurately and help people move into, 80 some odd percent of people are not even doing, not even happy, near happy with what they're doing.
Mm. I was going to ask you, was this your one and only career? Did you like get into this when you were a kid and you just kept going straight down that path?
So I was a singer-songwriter
mm-hmm.
Before I got into numerology, and I studied music at Berklee College of Music because my academic mom said I had to go to a university.
Oh, my God.
If you're going to be a musician, you have to be educated as a musician. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that really worked, but I went. I studied there for some time, and then I had a bit of a, I guess you could call it a little bit of a powerful emotional, kind of a, if you call it dramatic thing that happened to me around 23, 24.
Mm-hmm.
And that changed me.
Mm.
A lot of my wounds from being adopted, from my relationship with my mother growing up, all that stuff came to the forefront in my life through a relationship. And then I had to, pick up the pieces and figure out what the hell's going on with me.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I all this deep stuff in me that I didn't even know was there.
Sure.
So I really do, my empathy for people, a lot of it has to do with the fact that I've gone through a lot of emotional stuff in my life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even though I grew up in Pleasantville and had a great family, and that's, you get people like that. Look, my parents were great.
Yeah.
I don't have any problems. I mean, things could be better. And I go, listen, I know what great and coming from a good family is and having problems.
Sure.
You don't have to be beaten you know, by an alcoholic parent to have issues in lessons. And sometimes we're so wounded and we don't even know it. And it's hard to even get there because everything was great in so many other ways.
Exactly.
You know? That's so interesting when you said that, because I had a client once that came to me for over 2 years before disclosing that he had been physically abused as a child. Started out with everything's fine, was not going there. Wow. But I could see the disasters in all of his relationships and the way he would play out these things and always being the victim and not understanding. I'm like, I know that something else happened to you. Please tell me. But it took him that long to trust that I wasn't going to abuse him with that information and make him feel bad. But it, you're saying people just go, everything was fine, you know?
Well, my therapist, I remember when I started therapy, you know, 10, 12, whatever, how many years ago, and she said, you know, tell me about your childhood. I'm like, oh, it was great. And she was like, that was my first, you know, clue to kind of realize we really need to kind of, because nobody's
might be great, right? But there's all, it doesn't have holes in it. I mean, I certainly had a lot of pluses, positives, but lots of trauma.
Yeah.
You know,
who doesn't?
It's the code gives it away. So I go out on a limb and I say, look, this is what's is suggestive here. But I do see things like that in a chart. But, you know, look, it's the way I go about it. And I guess maybe if you can give your interpretation of this. I make it okay to have a lesson or a wound. I make it all right.
Yeah,
I sort of take the power of the wound away and say, look, the universe, God, whatever is creating all this stuff, whatever this small piece of the puzzle that somehow I've decoded in this grand, amazing world where everything is interconnected, right? This was given to you as a lesson, and it's okay to have it. And through that, miraculous things happen in a person's life, because we can then start saying, okay, what can we do with this?
Right.
'Cause like I said, the deepest stuff in the chart is usually where the gold is, and that's where a higher purpose lies. Remember, I'm trying to get you to move towards your higher purpose, not just rely on the amazing talents that you were born with, but going into the area where, like, well, that's been kind of like a little bit of a problem for me. And I said, listen, I know that.
Yeah, exactly.
But let's take some baby steps.
Right.
And you'd be surprised. You know, people think they couldn't do it, and their lives change drastically.
Oh, wow.
You know?
It's interesting, because as you were talking, I was thinking of, you know, life is like a symphony, right? Nobody writes a symphony with one note.
No.
There's thousands of changes over the course of the presentation that sometimes you're moved in this way and that way, and it's light, it's strong, it's dark, it's this. So how could anybody have a life that didn't have
and that is why features. When I look at the fingerprint here, the numerical map, the song that your life sings, it is intricate, and it took many, many years to figure out how this works, how these numbers interact, and how that makes the unique you know. And I think everyone is incredibly fascinating.
I think
everybody is. I am so passionate about what I do because this transformational process that you talked about is so amazing to me, because when you come from here and you get to here, something amazing happens in between that, where the light goes on, the bulb goes off, right? Something happens in your life where you start to awaken to, wait a minute, I have free will. I have control. I have the ability to react, change, and see things differently.
Sure.
We all have these lenses on that sometimes, you know, prevents us from seeing clearly.
Exactly.
So we are almost out of time. So tell us about your upcoming projects and where people can find you.
So, you know, I have a website, joshcode.com.
Okay. Perfect.
I'm working on a book. And this is not going to be another book on numerology. It's going to be a powerful tool, basically breaking the code to the psychological DNA of a person, helping people to see. It's going to be revolutionary. That's why I call myself a revolutionary numerologist. It's going to be controversial in the sense that I'm saying that this code, this age-old code that I've wrapped up and be able to use for all of us, exists and has always exists, that life is not just a series of random events, that we've all been trying to answer this question for thousands of years, and I found it in this system, you know, to the best of my ability. Of course, as years go on, and when I'm like 80, God knows where I'll be there, or someone may pick up my research and take it from there.
That's awesome.
You know, but this book is going to be a powerful transformational tool that people can use to change their lives.
Wonderful. And Josh has generously offered any listener who says the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show a 20% discount on your
reading, which is great.
So yeah. Exciting.
And I can attest. I mean, it was absolutely one of my favorite experiences.
You're
going to
give me more details.
Yeah,
I'll totally give you details.
But I mean, it was just, and I feel like it's going to be something that I'm going to keep thinking about the next couple of weeks, and different things are going to kind of hit. And so, yeah, thank you so much. It was
remember,
a joy.
You record the session because it's a lot of information.
Yes.
And you can use that information for years.
Oh, that's
beautiful.
Great.
So yeah. joshcode.com. Go check them out and get that discount. Get your meeting. And next week we have Michael Pascal, Meditation for Daily Stress, 10 Practices for Immediate Well-Being. Very exciting.
Thank you so much.
We love you all.
Bye.
Great guest.
Thank you. Great to be here.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.